This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
It hasn't, you know, we haven't seen a particularly, a big improvement with regards to the status and the situation of women. And some of the top feminists of our times and, you know, who even feminists who were quite well known in the 60s and 70s have said, you know, that we mentioned Germaine Greer saying that liberation hasn't happened. And she says that what happened was commercial pornography was liberated, fantasy was liberated, but people weren't liberated. And she even says things have gotten worse for women since the 60s and 70s. And we mentioned the quote from feminist Kat Banyard from her book, The Equality Illusion, which is a really harrowing read, actually. If you have a look at that book, The Equality Illusion, she says, today, women's and girls' bodies are widely denigrated as inanimate objects to be publicly scrutinized, judged, maintained, and manipulated for the benefit of others. They are shared public property. A female body is deemed an object that could and should be made beautiful at almost any cost for the benefit of those looking at it. And anyone who's, you know, online, especially on social media, knows that that's true. You know, women are literally changing every single part of their body. They're not satisfied with any part of their body, whether it's their lips, whether it's their skin, whether it's the tone of their skin, whether it's if they're white, they want to be tanned. If they're darker skinned, they want to be light. There's all sorts of things going on that show us that women have really taken in this this brainwashing, really, that deems them objects. Women objectify themselves. Men objectify women, and women objectify themselves. So the question comes, for any thinking woman, that, you know, what is the purpose of life? What is the vision for womanhood that God, that the Creator gave? You know, is that all we are as women? You know, a body, is that what we are? A body that is to be preened and perfected and, you know, we have this fear, don't we, of aging, of wrinkles, of, you know, basically normal things, right? Normal everyday life, aging. You know, is that what this life is all about? Is that what women are supposed to be pursuing? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I did not create the jinn or mankind, human beings, except to worship me. So the Quran has another vision for human beings, a vision beyond this world, a vision beyond just the material. And I think one of the things that's happened, you know, in our times is that because human beings have become so materialistic, you know, in Europe especially, we know that even mentioning God sometimes is, you know, taboo, right? So people have moved away from God-centric lives, from believing in a higher power, from committing their lives for something greater, from believing that, you know, they are spiritual beings and not just material beings. Because of all of that, I think human beings have become more and more obsessed with the material. And of course, the material doesn't bring you happiness. The material cannot bring you happiness. And that's because Allah has told us that the purpose of our creation is to worship Him. So the purpose of creation for women and men is to acknowledge God, the Creator, to know Him, and to worship Him, to commit our lives to Him. And we mentioned last time that in Islam, Allah is not male. God is not male nor female. You know, God is above sex and gender. We just refer to Him as He because it's just the most appropriate thing. You know, it's like we use it as a neutral, really. And even in the Arabic language, the word huwa doesn't denote maleness. You know, there are objects that are called huwa and hiya, but it doesn't mean that those objects are male or female, right? So as Muslims, we don't worship a man. We don't worship a father even. We worship the Creator, the higher power, the force behind creation, Allah, the Creator who is, you know, beyond this world, beyond this, beyond creation, beyond maleness and femaleness. And that's incredibly liberating, because what that means is that we, you know, the word Muslim means one who submits to God, one who submits to God. And so we're not submitting to human beings. We're not submitting to men. We're submitting to the Creator of men and women. That's who we're submitting to. And Allah says in the Quran, وَأَنَّهُ خَلَقَ الزَّوْجَيْنِ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى, that He created the two pairs, the male and the female, in chapter 53, ayah number 45. So, you know, Allah is above maleness and femininity, and He created male and female, and He made them distinct. And their beauty is in their distinctness, right? In being distinct. We're going to look at the story of Hawa, or Eve, the first woman to have been created. And as Muslims, we believe that, of course, that human beings were not created on this earth, that we came from another world, right? You call it another dimension. We came from another world or dimension. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam. He created the first human being, Adam. And He created from Adam His wife, Hawa. Okay. And so Hawa was Eve was the first female human. And she is the mother of all of us. She's the mother of all of us. And that's quite incredible if you think about it. Even that belief in itself is incredibly unifying, because what it means is that we human beings are one big human family. We're one big human family. We have one mother and one father that we all go back to, regardless of our skin colors, our cultures, our backgrounds. Every single one of us, if we would be able to trace our families all the way back, if we had preserved that knowledge, all the way back to one father and one mother, and that's Adam and Hawa. And in the Quran, Allah describes how when He created Adam and He created Eve, He asked Adam and Eve to live in paradise, in the garden, right? And that's where they lived, and that's what they were created for, really, you know. But then, of course, Allah was also testing them at the same time. And before this, Shaytan, or Iblis, in Arabic we call him Iblis, he had made a promise that he would do whatever he could to cause men and women to go astray, to cause human beings and Adam and his wife and the children of Adam to go astray. And so he was always on the lookout to find a way to cause them to go astray. But we see that Hawa and Adam, they lived happily in Jannah together, in paradise. And there was a particular tree, or a particular, particular tree from which Allah told them not to approach and not to take any fruit and not to eat any fruit. And that was their test. But Shaitan kept whispering to Adam and Hawa and kept enticing them and made all sorts of promises to them to encourage them to eat from the tree. And in the Quranic story, which is different from the biblical story, in the Quranic story, the responsibility for the sin, for eating from the tree, actually falls on the shoulders of both Adam and Eve, both Adam and Hawa, not merely Hawa, you know, it's not Hawa who's the temptress, as is kind of insinuated in the Bible, right? In the Bible, it's very clear that, you know, it was Eve who enticed Adam. It was Eve who basically led him astray, right? Who encouraged him to eat from the tree. And because of that, in the Bible, Eve is, you know, she has certain punishments and certain things that women have to endure until the end of time because of this action of Eve. But in the Quran, in the Quranic narrative, it's very different in that Eve is not responsible for the downfall of man. If anything, you know, Adam being the man who is supposed to be the leader, right, he would be held more responsible. But in, actually in the Quranic narrative, they're both equally responsible. And they both ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts their repentance, but he insists that they must now live on earth, right? They must now live on earth. And so we're just going to listen to one of the ayat about this. So this is when Adam and Hawa are about to go into Jannah.
فَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ إِنَّ هَذَا عَدُوٌّ لَكَ وَلِزَوْجِكَ فَلَا يُخْرِجَنَّكُمَا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ فَتَشْقَى.
So Allah warns Adam in the Quran. This is Surah Taha, ayah number 117. Allah warns Adam and says, so we cautioned, O Adam, this is surely an enemy to you and your wife. So do not let him drive you both out of paradise. For you, O Adam, would then suffer hardship. And then in the next ayah,
إِنَّ لَكَ أَلَّا تَجُوعَ فِيهَا وَلَا تَعْرَى.
In the garden, you will never go hungry and you'll never feel naked. Okay, Allah says. So if you just live there peacefully, you're never going to have any hardship, no difficulty.
وَأَنَّكَ لَا تَظْمَأُ فِيهَا وَلَا تَضْحَى.
And indeed, you will not be thirsty in the garden, nor hot from the sun. So, you know, the paradise, the garden that Adam and Hawa were living in was just a blissful place, a place with no hardship. None of the kind of things that we have on earth that cause human beings to feel uncomfortable, right?
فَوَسْوَسَ إِلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانُ قَالَ يَا آدَمُ هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى.
So Shaitan, he whispered to him, he whispered to Adam, and he said, O Adam, shall I show you the tree of immortality and a kingdom that does not fade away. Right, so, you know, Shaitan is up to his normal tricks, and this is a warning for us as well in our times and in our lives, that Shaitan, even if you're in a blissful state, you're in happiness, you're in contentment, he will come to you and he will whisper to you that actually there's something better that you could be having, right? There's something even better. There's something that you're missing out on in life. And the nature of human beings is that they then start having these kind of thoughts, right? These negative thoughts, and start thinking maybe that's true. Maybe, you know, even though a human being could be fully content, and you know, you see this in normal life, and you probably experience this yourself in your own life. There are times when you should be content. You know, everything in your life is fine. You're not suffering. But there's a voice in your head that will tell you, you know, you're not good enough. Yeah, things are not good enough. You could be doing better. Or if you only did this, you would get that, right? And of course, Shaitan, because he's our avowed enemy, he will promise us the universe. He will promise us the world, right, in order to get us to go astray. And so here he is up to his old tricks, and he's saying, "Oh Adam, shall I show you the tree of immortality and a kingdom that does not fade away?"
فَأَكَلَا مِنْهَا فَبَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا وَطَفِقَا يَخْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ وعصى آدم ربه فغوى.
So they both ate, and you see in the Quran it says فَأَكَلَا. This أَكَلَا means they both ate, right? The alif means two people, right? So they both ate from the tree, and then their nakedness was exposed to them, prompting them to cover themselves with leaves from the garden. So, you know, as a punishment, their clothes or whatever they used to cover their bodies was removed from them. And so suddenly, for the first time, they became self-conscious and they became aware that, you know, of being exposed. And they went around looking for leaves and things that they could use to cover themselves. And Allah says, so Adam disobeyed his Lord and so lost his way, right? وَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى. And then,
ثُمَّ جَتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ وَهَدَى.
But in the Quranic story, you know, of course, Allah forgave Adam and Hawa, right? So we don't believe as Muslims in the concept of original sin. We don't believe that, you know, there was a sin that was committed by Adam and Eve, and that Eve was the one who caused Adam to go astray. And so childbirth and periods and pain and all of that is a punishment for Eve, and for not just for Eve, but for womankind, right? After Eve. We don't believe in that as Muslims. That's something, you know, that's from the biblical story. We actually believe that God, that Allah forgave Adam and Eve. He accepted their repentance. They repented and he accepted their repentance. And so they no longer had that sin, right? So as Muslims, we don't believe in original sin. We don't believe that the sin of a person can be transferred onto their child, or, you know, in the case of Adam and Eve, onto the rest of humanity, right, until the end of time. We don't believe in that at all. We believe rather that Adam and Eve, the first man and the first woman, they made a mistake, they committed a sin, and they realized it was a sin, and they became very sorrowful. They begged Allah for forgiveness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them. Okay, and Allah says, then his Lord chose him for his grace, accepted his repentance, and guided him rightly. Okay, so Allah also gave him guidance. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it or ordained that Adam and Hawa would now no longer live in Jannah.
قال اهبطا منها جميعا بعضكم لبعض عدو فإما يأتينكم مني هدى فمن اتبع هداي فلا يضل ولا يشقى.
So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Taha, ayah number 123, Allah said, descend both of you from here together. Okay, and this is with Shaytan as well, right? Enemies to each other, in other words, enemies to with Shaytan. Then when guidance comes to you from me, whoever follows my guidance will neither go astray in this life nor suffer in the next. So Allah is telling Adam and Hawa, go down to earth now, and I will send my guidance to you, in other words, the prophets, the revelation. And whoever from your progeny follows that guidance will not go astray in this life, and nor will they suffer in the next life. So that's the essential story of Adam and Hawa that we have. Of course, we know that Adam and Hawa, as the first human beings, went on to have children on earth, right? And they also, they used to have twins, you know, they used to have sets of twins, and because they were the first human beings, their children, one set of twins was was allowed to or had to marry the other set of twins, right? Because they were the first human beings. So obviously there weren't no other human beings on earth. And so the rules were slightly different for them and their families. And of course, we know that of their children were Habil and Qabil, Cain and Abel. But that's another story, right? So today we're just focusing on the story of Hawa, the first woman, the first human being that was female. And that her womb was the womb from which all of us, all human beings, until the end of time, originated. Which is quite amazing if you think about it, right? It's immensely unifying to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us from one father and one mother. And of course, you know, we hear, don't we, in the khutbah, we hear, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. O humanity, be mindful of your Lord who created you from a single soul, and from it he created its spouse. And through both he spread countless men and women. And be mindful of Allah, in whose name you appeal to one another. And honor family ties. Literally, it says, you know, and be mindful of the wombs, right? The wombs that bore you. Surely Allah is ever watchful over you. So in summary, we're just, you know, touching on the topic of women in the Quran. And in today's session, we just looked at the first woman, the first human being that was female. That was created by Allah from the male, from Adam. And her womb is the womb that we all originate from, all of us human beings, regardless of our backgrounds, regardless of our skin colors and our nationalities. If we went back far enough, we all originate from that woman. And so it's a beautiful human story. We should feel honored as women. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a very special position. And we should also point out and be aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not punish or hold Eve, Hawa, more responsible than Adam for anything that happened. You know, if anything, you know, some of the scholars like Ibn Ashur in his tafsir, he says that actually women, you know, the man being the head of the house, he's actually more responsible, right? And since women, the wife, typically will follow the lead of her husband, you know, if anything, Adam was more responsible than Hawa, right? But of course, in the Quran, Allah holds both of them responsible and also forgives both of them. So inshallah, with that, I'm going to wrap up. These are half an hour sessions every day, touching on a topic related to women in the Quran. So we've got a lot of women to cover. You know, let me tell you what's on my list. And if any of you would like to make a comment or ask a question, then please feel free to make a request. But let me just tell you some of the topics that are going to come up in the next few days as we cover different areas of women in the Quran. We've got the verses of the Quran about men and women being different. We've got the story of Maryam alayhi salam, the story of, or the mention of Aisha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the Quran. The mother of Musa alayhi salam and her story. What the Quran says about pregnancy and motherhood. What the Quran says about Bilqis, the queen of Sheba. The wife of Lut and the wife of Nuh. Those are two women mentioned in the Quran. Their stories are mentioned in the Quran. We will also look at the wife of Aziz, who is Zulaykha, known as Zulaykha, who's, you know, from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. We'll also look at, inshallah, Zainab bint Jahsh, who was, you know, also referred to in the Quran. She became the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We will look at Al-Mujadila, who was she? We will look at the verses of Quran about female infanticide and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade that. We will look at verses about men and women and not competing with one another, but complementing one another. We will look at the wife of Musa alayhi salam, or the daughters of Shu'aib, the Prophet Shu'aib. We will look at Sarah, the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, who's also referred to in the Quran. The wife of Imran, who was the mother of Mary. We will look at her as well. The wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they're also mentioned in the Quran. The daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam are referred to in the Quran. The wife of Abu Lahab, the Prophet's uncle, is also mentioned in the Quran. We will look at what the Quran says about women and inheritance, about divorce and marriage, about their role in worshipping Allah. And also, I think that's pretty much. And we will talk about the vision that the Quran has for womanhood. I think through all of that, the vision, the Quranic vision for women will become very clear. So if anyone has any comments or any questions, then please do ask. Otherwise, I'm going to wrap up this session. And tomorrow, inshallah, we will continue at 11 p.m. once again. You know, I think it's time for us as Muslims to present the Quranic, the Islamic vision for womanhood to the world as an alternative, as the alternative to, you know, what is presented in our times as womanhood, which I believe is harmful to women, right? Inshallah, we will talk about some elements of that as well. And last time we already highlighted some of the statistics, really, that, you know, that really show that in modern times, human beings are really lost when it comes to gender relations, you know. So if nobody has any comments, I'm going to finish, inshallah, and I'll see you tomorrow. Jazakum Allah khair. And please tell people about this Twitter Spaces. And please help me build this Muslim Women's Organization, Muslim Womanhood. You can go over to launchgood.com/Muslim Women. launchgood.com/Muslim Women. And just help us to get to our first milestone, which is £1,000. We really want to get to that as soon as possible this Ramadan. And every single penny of that money is going to go towards building this organization. You know, there are a lot of admin costs, there are a lot of different costs, but it will go directly into delivering courses, classes, and also building our annual international conference, in which we really want to invite Muslims and non-Muslim women, to invite them to this alternative vision for womanhood. So please help us with that by donating in launchgood.com/Muslim Women. And with that, I'm going to bid you farewell. Jazakumullahu khairan. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum.
Ayatuhu tarwi al-madha wa sifatuhu nab'u al-huda nalqa al-jinan bihubbi lan tastaqima hayatuna illa bihi huwa al-Qur'an wal-Furqan ilayhi tunsitul